Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
That's on the coach.
Let's talk about it, guys. Welcome to Good Morning Football, presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky. We're in New York City on this Tuesday, December 21st. My name's Kay Adams, Kyle Brandt, and two Super Bowl champion Sean O'Hara is here. Different seat. He's in for Peter. And we have Aqib Talib, all-pro, five-time pro bowler, 10 career touchdowns while playing on defense. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, a little film study, you know what I'm saying? A little God-given ability.
Yeah,
mix the two together, get 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, Lockdown City, my man.
Now you can hear him in the booth for Fox with Gus Johnson. We just talked about that. We got some highlights to get to from last night. There was not one game, but two. It was like a, you know,
yeah, it was a sandwich. Special. They were incredible games, too.
All right, let's do it. Let's hear from the Natalie attired Justin Fields. He really went for it, and I like it. And also head coach Matt Nagy.
That's been a story. That's been a story of the year. For sure. I mean, you know, it's just shooting ourselves in the foot. And once we eliminate those penalties, you know, sacks on my part where I should just throw the ball away, throw the ball, you know, down to the ground. Once we eliminate those, then, you know, we start seeing more points come up on the board and, you know, more success from, you know, the whole team. I thought their defense played great tonight and they put us in a position to win.
It was an emotional game. And I think that it sucks losing. But when I'm, you know, talking to the guys and just knowing for me to understand where they're at and to see their fight, I appreciate that.
We will see what the future holds for Matt Nagy as we look at the playoff picture in the NFC after Monday night action. The Vikings slide up to that seventh seed. Hey, the final wild card spot in the NFC. There are handfuls of teams vying for that final spot. The Saints, Washington, Eagles, Falcons, and Seahawks. Quick reminder, two games tonight with playoff implications. Eagles hosting the Washington football team, while the Rams host the Seahawks. We'll hopefully have an update on Jalen Hurts for you at some point. But let's focus on that final spot, gentlemen. Of the teams who are in the hunt column, they're fighting for that last ticket to the club. Who are you, Kyle, most intrigued by?
Great question, Kay. And I like the intrigue because I'm looking in the middle of that right column, that just gross goulash of teams. And right in the middle of it is this beautiful bald eagle. And I'm very intrigued by the Eagles who play tonight for a lot of reasons. Really, really, really late bye. We haven't seen them in a couple weeks. When last we saw this Eagles team, an otherwise really forgettable 2021 Eagles team, they were winning 4 out of 6 games. They beat the Saints.
Okay.
They beat a Denver team that I think we all respect when it was playing its best football. And I just don't know. This Nick Sirianni is a complete enigma, a first-year head coach who is very eccentric, does things his own way. And if you buy into it all, his sort of Michael Scottish motivational speeches, this is on a T for him. Gentlemen, we have 1 month left to play. We control our own destiny. We play Washington, New York, Washington, Dallas. All our rowdy friends for the rest of it. If we take care of business in our division, we are going to the playoffs. Also, there's some real things going on with this team. I don't know if you saw Jason Kelce this week, his press conference in which he was openly emotional about Lane Johnson and the things that he has been through and the things that he has beat. I think there is a real factor of that here. And then you have just raw young talent like Jalen Hurts, who will be back, we're hearing tonight, and Devontae Smith, we haven't seen in 2 weeks. So the answer is not confidence for sure. It is intrigue. Been away, run the ball, have a lot of emotional things going for them. Can they get 3 out of 4 wins again in the playoffs? I can't wait to watch, Sean.
Going with the birds. Listen, I feel like this list that you're giving us, Kay, is kind of like when you're at a party. Like,
we called it goulash.
Yes.
Goulash, yeah. It's
everything
like
in the pot.
You're at like a kid's party or a Secret Santa party, right?
Sure.
And you're like the last one. There's 2 gifts left. You're like the last one to pick. And it's like a pair of mittens and an ugly scarf.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm definitely not wearing the mittens. Give me the scarf. Maybe I can hide half of it.
The candle is already locked. There's always a candle. Yeah. It's locked. You got to go scarf.
If there's booze, I'm taking that one.
That's locked.
At least, you know, at least you could celebrate with that. I'm looking at this list, and the one team that I just can't seem to shake my eyes off of is the Saints and what they just did to the defending Super Bowl champions. So give me the Saints defense. I think when you look at what they just did to the number one scoring offense in the entire league, the best quarterback to ever play the game, and yet Cam Jordan took over the game. It didn't matter if he was lined up over Tristan Wirfs or if he was against Alex Kappa. Inside, outside, he was all over Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And then Marcus Davenport was taking care of business, too. They've got a two-headed monster up front. And I tell you, this Saints defense, I know the offensive questions are there, but, man, this defense just shut out the Bucks. That right there is pretty special. And, you know, look, it's like that present at the Secret Santa party. I don't know. Maybe the Saints are that mystery bag. Maybe it's really little.
It's like a box, and it's got oven mitts, and you think it's oven mix, but you open it up, and there's a roll of hundreds in there. And you're like, let's go. Mm-hmm.
Found the cash.
Yeah.
Found the cash.
Scratchers.
I like the scratchers.
When I look at the teams, I look at the Saints as well. Can I talk before Sean? Sean, I keep taking all my answers today.
Oh, don't you hate that?
I'll switch it up.
Next time you go first.
We'll switch. That's on me, Akeem. I got you.
But I look at the rest. They remain the schedule. I see Dolphins, Panthers, Falcons. So all winnable games. Mm-hmm. And I look at this defense, man. Like you said, Davenport, Cam Jordan with the rush, and these DBs, man. I love what the DBs do. Dennis Allen, he asks you to play a lot of man coverage. He asks you to make plays in these fire zones.
Marshawn.
3D, 3 under. Marshawn, Roby, that's my son. Mm. What's up, Roby? That's my son. And then Debo, you know what I'm saying? So I love their DBs. I love their corners, man. They play tight man coverage. They do exactly what Coach Dennis Allen asked them to do. And I look at the defense. You know, I'm a defensive guy. So when I look at playoffs, I just look at what defense can step up and really take over and win whatever game, give us a chance to win in any game we go to. I look at this same defense, and they definitely can do that.
You're speaking my language. They held Aaron Rodgers and his Packers without a touchdown earlier this season. Their defense, obviously, their offense has been through a lot. And I think that if this squad gets into the playoffs, you have to consider Sean Payton for Coach of the Year.
They're going to be dangerous.
Losing Jameis, going so many stretches. I mean, if he gets them into the dance, I think he should definitely be considered. The question is, he's looking all at defense.
Hello.
And there's a Taysom Hill situation. What do you make of him? I think it's intriguing. I think they could wreck shop. Could they go very far? You tell me.
I just like the style. I mean, he's not going to sit in the pocket like Tom and throw the ball around, but that's not how you win Super Bowls anyway. You know what I'm saying? You look at even the Chiefs, when they won a Super Bowl, they ran the heck out the football. You know what I'm saying? Williams almost could have got MVP in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So I just like they make up. With that defense, you got Kamara, you got Taysom Hill. Run it 45 times and see what happens. You know what I'm saying? You just grind guys out, beat them up front. You got a good O-line. You're going to have a couple guys coming back. Grind them out, man. Taysom Hill, you run the ball 20. Give it to Kamara 20. That's 40 carries for the both of y'all. Throw 12 in for Ingram.
We need 52 carries. Combo more than Sirianni and Jalen Hurts than Washington football team.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it.
Because you're looking at which one of these teams. So then the only one that really would be a little scary would
Cousins, maybe?
No, would be. Maybe. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I forgot about that.
I know.
No, see, I mean, Seahawks, do you really trust, like, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think the Seahawks team has it. But listen, it's naive of us to just say, Taysom's going to figure it out down the stretch. Like, we've seen a lot of Taysom. It's fun. It's really inspired, and I respect him. But he doesn't play consistently good quarterback. Will he have to? He has to make some big throws. I mean, he's going to. And we know that's going to come down to that. Let me just pivot for a second about the Saints defense. You shout out a bunch of guys. Do you have thoughts on C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Like, this guy, it makes a lot of waves. He makes plays, but, like, he is one of these guys who he's a noted agitator. He pisses people off. Like, you a fan of his? What do you think of his game? Keep it real.
You know Tom is my people, man, so I don't know. It's make more plays, man, for you posting Tom face. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm.
He did pick him shortly later.
I almost wanted to fly to Tampa and get at him for Tom. Uh-huh. I almost wanted to get on the bird.
So it worked.
Yeah, it worked. It got under my skin from home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good answer.
Kind of reminded me of Sherman with the "You mad, bro?"
Sherman is Sherman.
Oh, yeah.
So Sherman, you got the right kind of to "You mad, bro?" Uh-huh. But you Gardner Johnson. Get out of Tom's face before I get on the bird.
You know Tom is seething. You know when he shows up to the podium in a white T-shirt, Brady ain't happy. He was talking about P.J. Williams taking off.
Yeah.
All right, enough about that talk. How about some more highlights? You guys want some football?
Yeah.
The Raiders.
Hell yeah.
On the Browns. Derek Carr fired up because the Raiders win 16-14. They're back in 500. They've got a pulse here in this playoff push. And Derek Carr caught up with our man, Silky Smooth, Steve Wyche, after the game.
Big win. You guys are still in the playoff hunt. Just how important was this?
Well, you know, pregame shows and all those kind of things are on, and they're planning my future and planning everybody's future already. And, you know, I don't think that we're done yet. You know, we have a long way to go. We haven't been perfect, but we're still in it. And as long as we have a chance, you still have to put the ball down and play. I'm just thankful for that opportunity that we're in December and we're still playing meaningful games.
10 seed, one game back of the wild card. I love that answer from Derek Carr. Tom Pelissero joining us now. Tom, we got a game tonight between the Washington football team and the Eagles. Obviously, it's postponed from Sunday's action. What's the latest with Washington and their issues with COVID? Who's going to play quarterback tonight?
Okay, the Washington football team is still awaiting test results for quarterbacks Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen to determine whether either of them could be cleared in time to fly to Philadelphia and start against the Eagles tonight. Both quarterbacks tested positive late last week for COVID-19. Under the revised NFL-NFLPA protocols, we are seeing more fully vaccinated players testing out and returning sooner. But as Baker Mayfield found out on Monday, being vaccinated and having no symptoms does not guarantee that you're actually going to get to play. So if Washington does not get either of these quarterbacks back, it's expected to be Garrett Gilbert getting the start against the Eagles. Gilbert was with Ron Rivera and offensive coordinator Scott Turner in Carolina, made his first NFL start last season for the Cowboys, but just signed with Washington off the Patriots practice squad 5 days ago. Washington still has a ton of players on the COVID list. They will also be without 7 assistant coaches tonight because of COVID protocols. Okay?
Appreciate it. Lots up in the air. A lot of factors. We'll be keeping our eye on those. Headed to kickoff tonight for that action that wraps up finally week 15. Thanks, Tom. We've got a Christmas Day doubleheader Saturday. NFL Network. The Browns are back on Saturday. They were supposed to be on Saturday. They weren't. But now they're taking on the one seed, the Green Bay Packers. Christmas in Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers seemed pretty excited about that, didn't he?
Very excited. Yeah. At least not be done.
Of course. You can see that one on Fox NFL Network. Or streaming on Amazon Prime, then it's Colts and Cardinals exclusively here on NFL Network. Playoff implications abound. All the coverage begins on Christmas Day at 2 o'clock Eastern. More Good Morning Football on the way. Tom Brady definitely didn't have his best game on Monday night. Front office analyst Scott Pioli will be joining us to break down those Buccaneers and more. Plus, it keeps Leaves getting on a plane to New Orleans, right?
That's your guy.
Leave Tommy alone, man.
This week, Thursday Night Football is only on NFL Network. It's the season finale of TNF. The playoff chase is on. We are here for this one. The Niners fighting for their postseason lives. The Titans might have something to say about it. They have another division title in their sights. Niners, Titans. Week 16 starts here Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern only on NFL Network, Sean.
All right, Kate, we got a guest right here, a special one, a friend of the show. We loved bringing him in here on a Tuesday morning. A three-time Super Bowl champion as vice president of personnel for the New England Patriots, former GM of the Kansas City Chiefs, and assistant GM of the Atlanta Falcons. The pride of Central Connecticut.
Yeah.
Please welcome to the virtual breakfast table, Scott Pioli.
Oh, what's up, Scott?
Morning, Scott.
Hey,
how we doing?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me. Yeah, back when Central Connecticut had some pride, Sean.
Let's go. Oh.
Oh, wow. Early shots right there. Okay, we got you. Espresso shot. There you go. Listen, we were talking yesterday, Scott, on the show and having a little debate about the Ravens going for two again and coming up short. We had some discussion here about whether it was the right call. Where do you stand on this whole going for two, and do you like the play call?
Sean, in that particular situation, I'm actually fine with it. I understand analytics. I also understand the most important part of analytics and decision making is context and circumstances. And I think part of what John Harbaugh was talking about is exactly what he was talking about 2 weeks prior to that. He knew that his kicker could make the kick. He knew he could go into overtime. That wasn't the issue. You know, 2 weeks ago when they prepared for the Pittsburgh Steelers and he had to make that decision, he talked about the absence of Marlon Humphrey and the absence of Marcus Peters and the secondary being a wreck. Now, if you go back and you look at the context of the game, where it was, in the second half, the Green Bay Packers had only 4 drives. And in those 4 drives, they scored on 3 of them. One was 68 yards of total offense for a touchdown. The other was 88 yards for a touchdown. Then a 5-play drive that gave him a field goal. Then the previous drive, they stopped him. But he knew that he was not only without Humphrey and Peters, but he was also without Chris Westry and Jimmy Smith, who he had just lost 2 days earlier. So to me, I like the call because he understood that his defense and his team was in a lot of trouble, and he was going to take the risk on trying to get the win in that moment.
Yeah, Scott, there was some good video and audio of John Harbaugh talking to the players, saying, hey, you guys want to go for this? Hey, if we score, you want to go for the win or do you want to go to overtime? And they all said, let's go for it. So let's talk about the play call. Sprint right option. Where does that rank on your game-winning play calls?
I'm a front office guy. I don't make play calls. He knew something that I didn't know. I got to trust. I mean, they've got a coordinator who's done a pretty good job, probably has a better record of play calling than I do.
It's true. Scott would have said, look, I got Mark Andrews out there. You deal with him however you want. And we respect it, Scott. The Chicago Bears offense had a tough time again last night, but they scored 9 points more than the world champion Buccaneers did this week. Scott, Brady was shut out on Sunday night. It's only the third time in his career. In fact, the last time he was shut out was 2006 with the Patriots. You were there. A month ago, we talked about these Bucks, and you mentioned the age and health of their players, and they've just been so fortunate with all of these injuries. And now this. Chris Godwin out for the season. Mike Evans knocked out of the game. Leonard Fournette knocked out of the game. So many lingering issues amidst a shutout loss. How concerned are you about the Bucs and their specifically their offense right now?
Kyle, I'm concerned, but I'm not at five alarm level concerned yet. But to me, this is exactly what we talked about a month ago. What is their durability going to be with their older players? And now they're in a situation where some of their younger players, in the middle of that game, they lost their three top offensive producers. And that is a problem in mid-game because you don't have a chance to adjust. You know, I was with Brady, as you mentioned, back in 2006 when he had that last time that he was shut out. And if you go back to that game, you remember his starting receivers in that game was a 35-year-old Troy Brown and Rishay Caldwell. The backups and the guys that came in after that were Jabbar Gaffney and Doug Gabriel. Tom has always been very transparent in talking about how important his teammates are and how important the production players in his offense will be to him. He lost those players in the game. Now, he's lost Godwin for the entire season. This could be a problem moving forward. It depends on where Fournette is at and where the rest of the players are going to be. But to me, it's a concern, but not at the five-alarm level yet, Kyle.
Scott Pioli waking up with Good Morning Football. I want to talk about the Dolphins. I'm excited for them. Really, I want them to do well. They started the season. It was dreadful. Lou lost after a lot. They were 1-7. Now they're at 500. They've won six straight. I don't remember the last time at a breakfast table that we unanimously voted on an angry run champion. Tua Tagovailoa got that honor today. Who do you accredit that success from, whatever that turn was to what they're doing now, from a leadership standpoint, Scott?
Okay, from a leadership standpoint, I give credit to the entire leadership group. And honestly, that starts with Stephen Ross. The owner has shown great, great patience. He was very concerned. I shouldn't say he was very concerned. A lot of people concerned about where they were at, the losses, where was this program headed. And a lot of times, owners can be impulsive. Stephen Ross was not impulsive. He trusted Brian Flores. He trusted Chris Greer. He knows that they have a plan. And he said, listen, I'm going to ride this out. So he turns things over to B-Flo and to Chris Greer, and they have been able to work their process and do what they believe is right. And that's manifesting itself into wins. It hasn't been perfect, but right now, as you mentioned, Kay, they're on a six-game roll. And you don't, in the NFL, you don't just roll out of bed and win six in a row. They are doing something right. They're doing something well. They beat the Patriots at the beginning of the year. They are an improved football team. They haven't lived up to the expectations, but sometimes expectations can be unfair. So I give credit to their entire leadership group.
Scott, what's going on? I want to talk to Jazz.
How you doing?
So Urban Meyer was fired. What's going on? Urban Meyer was fired last week. It's been a disappointing year in Jacksonville. And you recently wrote about minority coaches on NFL.com. Who are some of those guys that teams like Jacksonville can seriously be considering?
McCabe, I'm going to talk about three guys in particular from the article, not everyone in the article. The first guy I would talk about, though, is Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell was a very successful head coach in the National Football League. Seven seasons as a head coach, he went to the playoffs four times, including twice with the Detroit Lions, which is tough to do. He's the last coach to take them to the playoffs. You know, knowing Jim and how good of a leader he is, how well he stabilizes things, he's smart, he's a good leader, and the next person I ever hear say anything bad about Jim Caldwell will probably be the first person. So he would be on the list of people that I think should get an opportunity. Another coach I want to talk about has kind of fallen off the radar, and I don't understand it. Terrell Austin, who's the senior defensive assistant for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We interviewed Terrell in 2015 when we hired Dan Quinn. To me, he was one of our absolute best interviews, and he was interviewed by two or three other teams that same year. I was certain he was going to get a head coaching job really soon. It never happened, and I still don't understand it. He's worked with Jim Caldwell. He's worked with Mike Tomlin. He's worked with some really good people, and he's been a terrific coach himself, a guy who I think needs an opportunity. So now if we go into the next kind of coach I'd like to talk about, it's the college head coach. And to me, it's Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker has coached 10 seasons in the NFL as assistant. He was with Nick Saban three different times in his career, at Michigan State, at LSU, and at Alabama. And when Mel was at the Jacksonville Jaguars years ago, I think it was 2011, he coached five games as the interim head coach and was 2-3. Now, everyone talks about Mel having signed this new contract, which is really important. However, one detail about that contract that I know is the buyout for that contract is only $2.5 million. And if you're an owner that wants a good coach and you think about $2.5 million, they waste a lot more money than that during free agency. And the head coach is usually more important than any free agent player that you sign.
It's well said. More over at NFL.com/Pioli. Scott Pioli, thank you so much for joining us. You're not the only guest. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is on the program. Cam Jordan. And up next, joining us, defensive lineman Christian Wilkins. He better be bringing that energy from this Dolphin squad I just hyped up and talked about. We will discuss his touchdown, the big man leap into the stands, the worm. It's all coming up after the break. Dolphins fans, stay tuned.
Hunter Long in motion. Play action fake. It's off the roof. It's touchdown. And Wilkins does the Lambo leap into the stands.
They may need a crane to get him out of there.
I'm very excited. If you ask me, is there a hotter team in the NFL or who's the hottest team? I would tell you the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Yep, on a six-game win streak. Joining us now, the big man from Miami. He is here with us right now celebrating his 26th birthday yesterday. I can't read, ladies and gentlemen. Give a good morning, football. Welcome to Dolphins defensive end, Christian Wilkins.
What's up, Christian?
Happy birthday,
Christian.
Good morning. We love having
morning,
you on the
morning.
Show. I'm loving this moment for you. Yes, come join us and party with us. I want to start with that situation yesterday. Coach Flores calls your number on first and goal from the one. What was the play call? It looked like you were ready to go.
Yeah, I was ready. You know, Coach Flores kind of, you know, we drew it up in the sand on the sideline. You know, we just needed a spark. You know what I'm saying? He's needing the athlete out there on the field. He's like, Christian, you're in. Go take care of business. Do what you do. And I was like, Coach, I got you. Don't worry about it. You know, I'm going to take care of business. And, you know, I had a nice route, a nice simple route to the flat. I saw my defender. He had inside leverage on me. I jabbed him inside. You know what I'm saying? I went outside wide open for a touchdown. Crowd goes wild, you know.
Talk to me about this. Was this something you planned before? Talk to me about the worm.
Well, it was kind of just the spur of the moment. You know, I just got excited. I actually had a planned celebration. I was going to give a shout out to Jalen Waddle and do the Waddle dance. But, you know, because he wasn't playing in the game Sunday. But I kind of went rogue. I kind of went rogue and forgot about him. You know, he's a rookie anyway. We don't care about him. No.
Yep.
So, then I just went rogue, got excited, jumped in the crowd, came out, still felt good, still wanted to celebrate. So then, you know, just did the worm, did the spinneroonie, you know, did all that. So I had a good time doing that. A little throwback breakdance action.
Mm. Christian, happy birthday, brother. This is Keith. So y'all are currently on a six-game win streak. Y'all, no problem. Y'all joined the Jets, the 74 Jets, as the only team in NFL history to start 1-7 and turn around and be 7-7, man. So what's the key to it? What's the key to the turnaround?
Biggest thing is, you know, just even, you know, when things were bad, we were able to, you know, just stick together through it all. Guys didn't grow weary. We kept coming into the facility every day with a good mindset, good energy around. We're fortunate to have a lot of guys who care on this team and want to be great. So, you know, that's fun. And when you have that, you know, it's guys who genuinely care about each other, love being around each other, love coming into work. I mean, it's tough to beat. And we just, you know. We stuck with each other all year, and you know, and now we're starting to string together some wins, and you know, and have some fun out there.
You're stringing together a lot of wins. It's not no sum. Like, you guys have been winning for 2 months. You are on fire right now. You are coming tearing down the stretch. And Christian, this is something you don't hear much, but this is a scepter. We have a scepter on our show. That's what this thing is. And we are sending this to your facility. It is going to arrive tomorrow, and it's going to your quarterback. Tua Tagovailoa won our Angry Run segment just about a half hour ago, unanimously. It doesn't happen much where everybody in the entire cast here said, this is the one. He beat Deebo Samuel. He beat Javonte Williams. He beat Darius Leonard, the maniac. We all voted for Tua. So, two-part question for you, Christian. What did you think of the run? And secondly, do you think there was more behind this? Because Tua's had to put up with a lot of stuff. The slow start for you guys, for sure, but also hearing about his future and his job and all kinds of things. It seemed to us that it was coming to a boiling point and was just unleashed on this poor tackler. Tell us about this.
Well, I think it was a great run, first of all. I mean, you could tell by everybody's reaction on the sideline. We went absolutely crazy. We went nuts. You don't see that a lot in the league. And, you know, we just went crazy. Like, half of us were on the field, you know, so that was exciting. That was a lot of fun to see that. And, you know, I was, I'm happy for Tua. You know, he's a good teammate, you know, really, really good teammate. You know, we all love playing with him. You know, so I'm just happy for him and happy for him to have some success. And, you know, and I got his back through it all, so.
Christian, happy birthday, my man. Listen, there's no better birthday present than getting the win and getting to catch a touchdown pass out of the backfield. I saw you stepped on his toes and then you created some separation. that was some good movement right there.
That's right.
Word on the street is they call that the thick six, mm-hmm. when a big man scores a touchdown. So happy birthday to you. Great present. We're up here in New York City, and after you scored the touchdown, man, it looked like you were on Broadway. I mean, you were jumping into the stands. You were doing the worm. You were dancing. Not camera shy whatsoever. And we've heard that you are a fan of Hamilton. You've seen the show. You've seen the play. So I've got to ask you, if you get a chance to go and fill in and have a role on Hamilton, on Broadway, when they reopen, what are you saying?
Oh, absolutely. That's not a question. And I need to be Thomas Jefferson coming alive in the second act, coming out strong with What Did I Miss? You know what I'm saying? I'm bringing the energy, letting everybody know I stepped in the building. That's a great show. I've seen it several times on Broadway. Love Hamilton. And actually, funny story. So when Flo texted me, you know, I'm always doing, you know, I'm a Hamilton nerd at this point. When Flo texted me and, you know, kind of told me that, you know, be ready for a play and whatnot, I just told him simply, you know, I'm not throwing away my shot, you know, and I was ready for my opportunity when the ball came my way, so that's the story, you know.
You with Thomas Jefferson, I'm here for that. Kyle and I sing the musical all of the time here on the show, so we would be there front row cheering you on. I really want to cheer on this Dolphin squad. I'm really excited about you guys. You're in the playoff race, and I just looked at the schedule. Because I love you guys and want you to love me back here. Tough matchups to end the season at Saints, at Titans, and then you host the Patriots to wrap things up. Now, the Patriots, I keep and tell you, get a little wonky down in Miami sometimes. Mm-hmm. Those are winnable games for this Dolphins team. Talk to me about your mindset. What is it heading into this final stretch and why you think the Dolphins are, in fact, a playoff team?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, our mindset needs to be what it's been all year and, you know, what Coach Flo preaches every day. It's just take it one day at a time. Like, we can't focus on, you know, the three games we have and, you know, just take it each day at a time, get better each and every day, focus on, you know, with the task at hand, be great where our feet are, you know, and just, you know, just go from there. We can't win the next three games this week. You know, we got to just focus on this opponent this week. The Saints are this is the biggest game of the year. So we got to accept the challenge, be ready for whatever comes this week and, you know, lock in on the game plan so we could, you know, try to put a good result out there on Sunday.
It's well said, Christian. We are excited for you. We are excited about the scepter. Don't you want him to have an angry run, too?
Come. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, Robert Hunt got one for the offensive line, so you got to get one, man.
Oh, yeah.
Do it pounding Father Jefferson style. If you don't know, now you know. Go get one.
Good deal.
Good morning, football. Back on your screen. We'll sum it back with the news. And for the Bucs, Sunday night was a rough one. Not only did they get shut out by the Saints, but they also saw three of their top offensive players go down to injuries. Now, Leonard Fournette, Mike Evans seem to be okay with their injuries. Same can't be said, though, about wide receiver Chris Godwin. The news much worse as the wide receiver lost for the season after an MRI revealed a torn ACL. The Bucs' leading pass catcher finishing the year with 98 catches for just over 1,100 yards and 5 touchdowns. Godwin was playing on the franchise tag this season. Well, there is some good news out of Denver, at least, as Broncos quarterback Teddy Bridgewater was released from the hospital Monday and is doing well following this scary moment from Sunday. He was diagnosed with a concussion and is now in the league's concussion protocol. Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce getting some good news, bad news Monday. The good news first is he was named to his 7th Pro Bowl. The bad now, he tested positive for COVID-19 and was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. NFL Network insider Ian Rapoport reports Kelce is vaccinated, so he'll have to be asymptomatic and test negative twice to return. The Lions coming off a huge win over the Cardinals on Sunday, but got some bad news Monday as well, as quarterback Jared Goff was also placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, along with offensive tackle Matt Nelson. Goff's status for Sunday's game against the Falcons in jeopardy, depending on his vaccination status. The latest pandemic outbreak, of course, causing havoc for several fantasy owners everywhere. It's Tuesday, and they haven't even finished the first round of the playoffs, Kay, as we're waiting on 2 games tonight.
I know, you want to set those lineups. It's kind of bleak. You don't know what's going to happen. Keep it here. Tom Pelissero, Ian Rapoport, Mike Garofalo are all over it. I'm just here to help you with some options for depth in case the worst happens. You want to get yourself set for week 16, so thank you so much, Will. Let's do it. This is the push for your league championship. And I begin with a running back, Rojo. Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, left Sunday's game with a hamstring injury. Rojo looked great filling in, 71 total yards on 10 touches to finish out the game. There's a good chance Fournette misses a week or two with the injury. Keep it here for that. It's absolutely worth scooping up Jones ahead of the Bucs matchup in Carolina. Also worth noting, Rojo went off for 198 total yards and a touchdown the last time he faced the Panthers. What a game. Next up, Samaje Perine. Joe Mixon suffered a left ankle injury late in the Bengals' win over the Broncos. While he never touched the ball again, he did re-enter the game for the final kneel down. So don't wait to find out Mixon's status. Scoop up Perine as an insurance policy right now. Mixon hasn't missed a game yet this year, but he was limited by an ankle injury against the Packers week 5, and that's when we saw Samaje step up with 83 total yards and a touchdown on 15 touches. Play him if Mixon can't go. How about Craig Reynolds? Should we enter him into the chat here?
Sure.
Let's do it. It's a Lions running back in the two weeks since DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams have gone out. Reynolds has averaged 108 total yards a game. Nobody's really talking about him. He had 112 yards, 26 carries Sunday against the Cardinals. You saw this game. He was good.
Up close and personal.
Yeah. Yep. So
everybody's talking about Josh, his brother.
Yeah, it's very, there we go, very true. If those two guys cannot go again, I think you can put Reynolds in your lineup this weekend. They've got the Falcons.
Look at Craig thinking he's the Mac.
Yeah. Kyle, do you have the correct pronunciation for this name?
Yes, I do, actually.
Go for it.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. Well, he's been on this list, and I've said his name every which way. It's the second week in a row because he's still out there in over 80% of leagues. I know 80% of you aren't playing anymore, but I do think if he's available, you should add him. He's averaged 8.7 catches, 83 yards the past 3 weeks, over 11 targets a game in that time. He scored twice over that span. So that type of volume at this point in the season, I like it. You got to own him, and I would actually consider putting him in your lineup against the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Finally, Bills receiver Gabriel Davis. Emmanuel Sanders. He exploded with 4 touchdowns over the last 3 weeks, including that big-time performance this past weekend. We know he's a deep shot guy. We like seeing Josh Allen hit him, don't we, Kyle?
It's so fun, especially in the red zone. He does deep shots. He does red zones. He does everything.
He had 5 catches, 85 yards, and 2 touchdowns while playing on a season-high 90% of snaps. So if Sanders is still banged up, I would absolutely start him this weekend as well. There you guys have it. Some waiver wire grabs. We've got lots of guests here on the show, so we'll get to them after this. Do you play fantasy football at all, Akeem? Have you ever done it?
I do. I'm in 2 leagues right now.
Yeah, who's your quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers on both of my teams.
You're doing well.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Doing
playoffs one
well.
Team, and I'm kind of ugly in my other league.
That's how it works.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers might win MVP?
I think he will.
Let's talk to Cam Jordan.
All right,
there he is.
Now, We've had, I don't know, what would you say, Kyle, like 1,000 guests on our show over the years?
Yeah.
Something like that, close to 1,000, well, more than 1,000. And there's only one person that has successfully thought about and executed stealing the Good Morning Football mug off the table. It is a highly coveted piece, and he did that successfully. So now we now join this gentleman who also happens to be, you know, one of the best defensive players in the league, who's recorded 100 career sacks on Sunday.
What's up?
Hey, Cam.
100.5. But who's counting?
100.5.
Give him that half.
Gotta give him the half. 100.5 sacks. It's got a nice ring to it. So before we talk about that impressive win on Sunday night, we want to talk about another achievement, maybe even more important, certainly prestigious and super meaningful. You, my friend, are the Saints nominee for 2021 Walter Payton Man of the Year. You are the nominee representing your team. This is the second time it's happened for you in your career, which is tremendous for everything that you do in the community. So what was your reaction? How do you feel about being that representative this year?
Man, I'm blessed and highly favored. I mean, we've got so many guys in our locker room that do such phenomenal work. I mean, you know, guys like DeMario Davis, guys like Malcolm Jenkins, just off the top of the head. So to be, you know, this year's representative, it's a phenomenal feeling. But it's just that it's a great accolade to be a part of. But, you know, there's still so much more work we can do in the community. So I'm always thinking about what's next for not only myself, but for New Orleans.
Cam, you spend your Sundays taking things away from people, beating guards, taking down quarterbacks, even taking the football from them. But the other 6 days of the week, it's all about giving back. And your charity, God Is Love, has done great things in the community. You guys do all kinds of things, all kinds of programs, football camps. You're helping out people with COVID-19. You're constantly giving back. Where does that drive come from for you to give back to your community?
Man, Sean, you know exactly what it is. When you've been blessed to play this game for as long as we have, when you've been blessed to be a part of an organization, a part of a community, how can I not want to give back? I mean, I watched my dad do it for all my life. I mean, you know, I watched my mom do it all my life. My family has been, you know, it has been so giving. Not only to neighbors, but to community. It's like, you know, how can I not want to be a part of it? So coming to New Orleans, being embraced the way I have been, how do I not try and give back? I mean, it starts from knee high to tree high. I mean, from the time I was born to now, I mean, I've been able to watch great people in my own household and great people across the league give back, and just having access to a platform like this to be able to do so. It only helps create more positivity in the long run.
That's dope. That's dope, Cam. Let's talk a little football now. You guys pulled off a great win against Tom. It's nothing like sending Tom home with 0 points. But how do a win like this galvanize this locker room into making a run at these playoffs?
Man, look, I don't even know what the playoff scenario is. You know me, I'm focused on what's next. Okay, like when it comes down to it, I'd love to say, hey, we're going to win a Super Bowl this year. I'm going to say it every year because I think there's always a chance. If there's a chance for a playoff run, there's a chance for a Super Bowl run. And, you know, unlike you and Sean, I don't have a Super Bowl ring, so I'm still gunning here. Like, we still have so much more to do.
Well, listen, Cam, you know this. Kay and I don't have Super Bowl rings either. Maybe that's why we love you so much. And your focus on what's next. What's next is the Dolphins. You got to weigh in on this, Cam. So one of our favorite moments from the week of games so far was this big man touchdown. Christian Wilkins, defensive end, your kind of player. He gets in on this beautiful route, which is going to run the flat here, catch it from Tua. And then, Cam, he's basically going to do everything. He does the hard rock leap or whatever it's called. That's enough. Right, you think he would leave well enough alone? But then he's going to eventually, I promise, he's going to get into the worm. And like a really, really athletic worm in which he rises. There, bam, he's fully off the ground. Now, we're asking you about this, Cam, because back in the day, you had a very athletic celebration, which included dunking on the goalpost in 2017, found Big Sip. Get up, Cam, and ba-ba! All right, so let's break these down. You play the Dolphins next. You respect game. Which was more athletic, your dunk or his worm?
That worm was cringy. It was, I'm only going to say that because I've seen a defensive end of mine try to do the worm. His was way better than Carl Granderson's ever was. So I'm going to put that out there. But after you do, you know, the leap, there's gotta be a finish to the celebration. Fine. That's the same guy from Clemson that I've seen do the splits, right? Yes. I'm gonna leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone. That's, okay. That's apparently who he is, so let him keep rocking.
You didn't leave it alone. You said it was cringy.
He doesn't want to dunk on him.
Mm-hmm. You did dunk on him. You said it was cringy.
It was cringy.
No, I said go for the dunk.
It was a lot. Yeah.
I feel that. So, Kay mentioned you got your 100th career sack this week. You joined Ricky Jackson as the only other player with 100 sacks in franchise history. Not a Saints fans was pumped. I was at home pumped for you. But them babies was the ones who was truly pumped for you, man.
Let's
go check them out.
Yeah.
Let's go, Daddy! Let's go, Daddy! Pump, 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 pump. Let's go, Daddy!
Hey. Yo.
The gang was definitely, they was definitely excited for you. But what was your thought? What was your first thought after you accomplished this super impressive achievement?
Man, I mean, to get to 100 sacks, I'm not going to lie to you, I was looking forward to it. I thought I would have hit it probably a couple games ago. But, I feel like coming back, being able to rush four D-linemen on the front, having the success that we did. I mean, you know, take away the sacks. I mean, the turnover from D-linemen, from the amount of times we pressured and hit Tom. That's rare in itself, because we all know when you hit Tom, Tom just speeds up his timing. For us to have that kind of success, that's what I'm most excited about, get another win and try and stack these again, trying to make this playoff run. Whatever that takes, that's what we're here for. But I love the fact that it was on Tom.
Of course you do. Cam, we love you. Continued success. We will not see a worm out of Cam Jordan. We will see maybe a win against those Dolphins.
Absolutely. That's the hope.
Yeah. That's the hope.
All right. Thanks, Cam.
Good job, Cam. Merry Christmas.
Football.
Like a speed bag.
You guys have a blessed
one. Congrats, bro.